Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
WQHT HD1 New York.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
Just don't call it a podcast. Oh, man. It's the live after the program show live. 2 minutes late. You know we can't do anything on time around here. We said 9 o'clock. It's 9:02.
I don't know how that happened. I really thought we were going to be on time this time.
You thought we were really going to land this on time? You know what show you listen. You know what show you work for, sir?
Yo, bro, I really thought today was the day.
Hey.
Laura seems enthralled. She's not even sitting up straight.
Hey.
She can't even help herself to be. She's so engaged right now. She's so happy to be here.
She's so dialed in.
She's locked. Yo, serious, real talk. This is serious business.
Is it?
Okay. What's happening?
Kendrick walks out. Does one verse after the first-person shooter, and the whole shit is in shambles?
Yeah.
That's basically what happened in a nutshell. Right. First-person shooter was out. We had no idea. Most people did not think that it was going after anybody specific. Kendrick comes out on the Metro Future like that joint, and now the whole shit is in shambles.
Apparently. Yeah, what you said.
And so, but I'm supposed to think that he's not the most dominant force in the thing when it comes to these, like, real specific. Look, Drake's the most dominant on the charts. He's the biggest, no question. But he's been throwing shade, saying subliminals, Even first-person shooter was a number one record, and we was like, ooh, bars, they getting after it. Cole, Drake, boom, they go out on tour. They running around. It's all magical and lovely and everything.
Dope.
Nobody thought anything. And then boom, Kendrick drops a verse and the whole fucking thing falls apart. Cole runs, jumps out the gate, retracts his statement. Fucking Ross is jumping in. Ja Morant. Who the fucking Ja Morant?
and all Kendrick said was, yo, I'm paranoid, man.
That was it.
That's not all he said, bro.
No, he said a lot more, but in a nutshell, he was just like, ain't no fucking big three. I ain't fucking with y'all.
Yes. Fuck you guys. Fuck out my way. But you know
by the way, he did the same shit happened in 2013. My point is, we could say all the shit we want about charts, sales, bodies of work. We could talk all that shit, right? And it's valid. All I want to make sure I'm understanding is, in 2013, Kendrick did the control shit. The fucking game was in shambles when he did that shit.
Right.
He does it again on Like That, and here we are, and the whole fucking thing is in shambles again. And he's not the most powerful force in the game.
Right. Straight Royal Rumble.
I just think he knows how to disrupt. He just says stuff that people were shocked that he was saying because nobody else is saying it.
People say stuff, Cass.
Not like that, Ebro.
But that's my point. Not like, and I'm glad you said.
But if they did, it would be the same result, is what I'm saying. Like it just so happens that he does it. But if anybody else were to do that, it'd be the same result, right?
But you just said it though. But they don't.
And by the way, who would it even be? Who would it really be?
No.
No, all I just wanted to, just for our own understanding, comprehension, if you're keeping track of this, when you zoom out, 35,000 feet, this guy, Kendrick, in two separate occasions, has called complete and utter chaos from a verse.
I said, Cancun time.
That's it. Right.
You know what I'm saying? I
can't even muster the energy Ebro has right now. That's the thing. I don't even feel this passion that you have. That's what makes me sad about myself.
But I'm only because, and I only feel it, Rosenberg, is not because of the actual battle. It's because there's a question mark on who the actual fucking
Don Dada is?
Who has the nuclear codes.
Right.
Kendrick has the nuclear codes, is my point. He sits on the button. He's got everyone clearly. He agitates. Yeah.
Right.
He agitates people. The
right.
The or the game. In
yeah,
a way.
But that's yeah. But my I agree with you. He sits on the button. He actually presses the button. I think there's a couple of people that sit on the button but won't actually press.
Who else?
Kendrick could press the button.
Yeah.
I think Drake could absolutely press the button.
Well, yeah. I can make the argument on the other side real quick. I want to hear the other ones you say. But on the other side, to Ebro's point, though, the reason Kendrick can take the thing nuclear is because of the way Drake already has the whole game feeling. Like Drake's dominance is, if there's no Drake, Kendrick says this about someone else, it's not that big a deal.
And I don't think we're giving Future his proper credit. Because Future was the one that opened the door for this whole thing to happen. Future and Metro opened the door for this whole thing. Because until they came out and said, no, we're going to go at that guy, everybody was shush.
Hot take. Hot take. I don't disagree with you. But big hot take.
I think we literally.
Other than the fact that Kendrick already did it.
No, but he never did it like this.
Not like this.
Not at Drake.
Not at
Colt. Not at the top of the game.
He did it at Drake.
Not so direct, though.
Not so directly.
Since like rapper Future, he mentioned names though on Control.
I think the Future and Metro came out the gate saying, "Hey, we're going at this guy," and everybody else said, "You know what? We're coming with you." And that's what happened this time around.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fact.
But Kendrick did say.
And then Kendrick said, oh, yeah, I'm going to go one step further, and I'm pushing this button, this nuclear button.
I'm pushing the button.
Now, Ebro, I recognize that what I'm about to say could certainly get me schooled by Cast One, who will know much better than I do.
But from my
vantage point, does it feel like before this all happened, for the first time in a long time, it had gotten quiet for Future?
It kind of
felt like he wasn't sitting on the throne the way he had for a long time. That's how it felt to me.
Well, he's coming off a very successful album. His last album was very successful.
How long ago?
Puff and Zooties. That was 2 years
like
ago.
Like a year, year and a half ago. The one Puff and he had Zooties, a song.
He had the Thames Drake record on there, which is why Drake is saying, I'm giving you the your biggest records is with me.
Not Puff and Zooties.
Future's been very consistent in what Future does. Like he's just been. If you're in that world,
well, that's why I said I would leave it to you because
that you know just on the inside of me, you know, doing my other jobs that I do, Future had on purpose gone quiet. Some, you know what I mean? Like he purposefully wasn't doing shows, you know, collabos. Or interested in interviews, or you know, he's never really interested in interviews, but he just wasn't really that active in the last, I would say, 12 to 18 months anyway.
And music wise, I'm sure Ebro could corroborate.
There you go. We got you, bro. I got you, my
Future.
G.
Future, quiet on the low, quiet as kept. Future is one of the more successful hip hop streaming artists.
Yeah, for sure.
By far, that's
for sure.
How about
for
this? Sure. People forget. Speaking of Future, before Drake and Future started collabing, Future had Rihanna records, bro.
Right.
Kelly Rowland records, bro. That Pluto album did its thing back.
Boom. Well, who is anyone questioning how big?
No, people forget, though. They like even Drake saying he's the biggest records you've had is with me and all of this type.
Nah.
Like, that's Future just Drake been doing his thing.
That's Drake talking. Drake, he knows. Drake knows Future is that guy. He definitely knows that.
I just find it interesting how everybody turned on Drake.
They were ready, Laura.
They were waiting, Laura. They've been waiting.
But I gotta say it again. You know, it's a series of unfortunate events because Drake collaborated with a lot of people because it did something for his hip hop credibility as a Canadian and a kid from the, you know, who ain't really from the streets and all that. He collaborated with people and that served both them and him. And he continues to jump and do remixes with people. And that's just kind of been Drake's programming, right? Like that's how he moves. But then, you know, when the streets do a favor for you, they're coming back to ask for more and more and more over and over and over again. And Drake started saying no to people, and that's why they're in their feelings.
Mm.
because that's what people in the comments are saying. But why though? Drake must have.
Why did he start saying no? Because he was like, yo, I did that already. Like, how much do I have to do for y'all? And they're like, nah, we need another future. Another feature. And, you know, that's where the whole French Montana not getting the clearance thing plays a part. Or the Rick Ross collaborative album that was supposed to happen that we never heard of. You start to see these things happen, and then Drake goes on. He moves on, and now he's, you know, instead of doing albums with Future, he's doing albums with 21 Savage and going on tour with 21 Savage. He's moved on. There's only two seasons in this game. The season when I need you and the season where you need me. And Drake don't need you no more. He's moved on.
That's what it is.
And they're like, fuck this guy.
How do you think all this is going to affect J. Cole? People are so, like, let down with J. Cole. Do you think? I think his fans.
J. Cole affected himself, bro.
I know.
Well, yeah, but it happened now.
It's gonna affect him.
I think long run, once like the little jokes end and the little memes and people saying things like, yo, stop getting all J. Cole on me, like that's gonna be a thing, right? Like that's gonna be language. That's gonna be shit talk. That's gonna be there. In terms of how it will overall actually affect the way like J. Cole's legacy, I mean, when you get into the conversation, if someone goes, I think J. Cole is the absolute best, someone's going to follow it up with, well, remember that time?
Yeah.
That's never going away.
But they do the same thing to Jay-Z.
They do. They do.
And they do the same thing to Nas about brick albums.
Right.
You know, every great rapper has a thing that, you know, is their, you know, kink in the armor.
Chink in the armor.
I don't think you say that anymore.
This is a dent.
This is a dent in the armor.
Well, it's a big dent.
And J. Cole has the other thing. Remember, the internet was always calling him boring. And then the other thing where his fans were mad at him about the Let Nas Down record.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Right, now here you go again.
And here you go letting Nas down again.
But by the way, and for the record, everyone's acting all like brand new. This is the same guy who made a song like I Let Nas Down. And then he had another song. And by the way, I love J. Cole. I think his evolution's maybe the best I've ever seen in hip hop in terms of growth from beginning to end. He gets better every year. But he also, remember when he made the song like being like, I have a boner when I had a wet dream.
Yo,
like
that, I hate that song.
Yo, I hate that song.
Ebro, he's never going to let this one go.
Well, don't listen. Never.
He has, hates wet dreams.
No, it's the worst. It was so corny. Listen, I love J. Cole, but he's had his corny, soft moments before. It's part of the whole thing. It was also part of the irony when he had the nerve on the disc that we knew he didn't believe to say something about one of Kendrick's albums being boring. I was like, bro, that's the critique of you, is that you're going to be great but boring.
I got into an argument with somebody who tried to say J. Cole's like Common. I was like, nah, Common when it comes to these battle stands on Benny.
Yeah, he ain't playing.
You could make fun of Common for wearing yarn pants, falling in love with Badu, and standing in the front yard with, you know, written signs and all that. We'll do that all day to his face. That's my brother.
But
when battled Ice Cube to the point Farrakhan had to jump in.
Facts. And when Drake was hot and Common was clearly on the fade, he still was ready for a smoke with Drake.
Period.
I'm probably the biggest J. Cole fan in this group, and this absolutely changes things for me. Absolutely.
What does it change for you?
It does. I don't know. Like, I can't. It just changes
the same
his
cast?
Can't look at him the
no.
same.
Well, no, it's on brand. It's very on brand for J. Cole to do that. But it's also damaging in the sense that,
just say it, Cass. Like, stop beating around the bush.
You run up Rosenberg. Rosenberg.
When he says he's about to do something, hold on. To an MC,
right,
go,
but that's what I'm
no
saying. Rosenberg, the evolution of J. Cole, like you said, from beginning to end, this ending part has been the big talk Cole. Big talk Cole. Like, I've gotten from there, now I'm here, and I'm amongst the guys,
the cream of
the
crop, with big three,
but
and
then,
I'm Muhammad Ali.
When right. you're challenged by one of the guys in the cream of the crop, and regardless of the situation, you back down off of it, it damages it just damages you on the hip hop side of things. It just does. I can't explain it, but it just does. You.
No, listen, that's totally fair when it comes to that conversation. I think to Laura's question before, though, let me ask you this.
Right.
How will it affect you actually just throwing on a J. Cole album? Well, maybe it will.
Yo, have you listened to First Person Shooter lately? It doesn't sound the same to me.
Wow.
It just doesn't.
But Cass, let me insert
interesting.
This. Let me insert this because I like the project Might Delete Later. There's things I like on
it. I like that he then actually went and deleted it. It's really
I haven't listened to it back. I haven't listened to it again since he deleted
it.
Yo,
that Cameron record is still fire.
It's fire. I love it.
You got it. The Central C joint? The Central C is fire.
Joint is fire.
But every time,
any record every time he's not popping shit, I can fuck with it. As soon as he starts saying he about to do something to an MC, I'm like,
you don't believe
it. Why?
Say that.
No,
but every time I look at the cover to Mike Delete Later, I remember when he deleted his this and backed up and apologized on stage. It hurts my soul.
Oh, you see,
LLJ.
Stop bringing up Pusha. We don't want to hear anything from Pusha right now. That's done.
Well, let me tell you what Pusha's not going to do. I'll tell you what Pusha's not going to do. He's not going to jump in someone else's beef. No, that's not his thing.
Well, and also, don't say it's done, Laura, because that will always come up as much as like grown in opinion. Y'all got to put some respect on Drizzy's name. Facts. Drake, the boy is tested. He's 2-0, it says.
You just called him the boy?
What two? What two?
The boy.
You just called him the boy?
That's what this guy wrote.
Oh, he wrote it. Okay, sorry.
He wrote that. The boy.
No, the I don't know what they're talking about. He beat Meek and he lost to Push.
Yeah. Like, what's 2-0?
That's facts.
And so that's when I came into today and you were like, Rosenberg, where's the energy come from? The energy comes from a place where there's these there's a lot of hip hop fans who are kind of these mainstream and they love Drake, and Drake is great. Drake's made a lot of hits. And I love Drake. I really love what Drake has brought to hip hop. He makes great songs and he's great at what he does. Right. I love J. Cole. I love Kendrick Lamar. I love them all. And they all bring something different sonically to hip hop. That's one of my favorite things right now. One of my favorite things right now is the fact that we are watching a battle happen and each person is delivering it in their way that is unique to them as an MC. Even Rick Ross's record. Right. No one could do what the record that Rick Ross is doing and sound like him. The Drake record. Nobody could do that record and sound like Drake. Even Cole's record and Kendrick's and Kendrick on like that. They all sound very different. And I think that is actually being missed for people who say there's not a lot of variety in hip hop. So I think that's a moment we should pay attention to.
I agree. I'm not mad at celebrating that.
You know what I mean? But further than that, when we're just looking at who's making the impact in this moment, that goes back to where I started. Kendrick is making the most impact in this moment because he's the one. Nobody knew what First Person Shooter was aimed at until Kendrick came back with his verse. And the whole thing really pops off from that verse.
Agreed.
And that is the impact. If you love this hip hop thing, right? Like, yes, you want the charts. Yes, you want Drake's life. Yes, you want the hits. Yes, you want all of that. But for someone who I think Kendrick is, who set out to be an MC who's respected, I don't think most people playing with Kendrick other than Drake. Drake wants to smoke, which he gets respect for.
Absolutely.
Because you got to remember, Ebro, to your point also, Drake also started as one of those guys.
Yeah.
He started as one of those guys that wanted to be a respected lyricist. He's from that.
I think he still is.
Kendrick is from that. Cole, I felt, was from that too, and still is from that. He's just different, right? Push is from that. These guys that we're talking about, they're from that. Ross, they're all from that. They're all from that rapper respect first. And Rosenberg, that's why this is such a big deal, this battle, because it's not so much, like Ebro said, chart talk or none of that. Drake didn't even put his record on the streaming. Like, his record, you got to go look for it, which is, I think, is amazing. It's not on streaming. It's not for the money. It's not for the counts. It's just for, this is what it is, and we all competed for that crown.
He didn't even put it on his Instagram.
Right. So that's why I say, like, yo, we've kind of almost never seen this before, where all the big dogs are all gunning for that number one spot.
Or and maybe it's not a ranking spot. Maybe we're using the wrong system of measurement. Maybe it's not about being number one. Maybe it's about measuring who has the most, you know, impact and ability to shift the conversation. Right? Because throwing it up just as a number one, I think, might be oversimplifying it. Because it isn't just a number one. It's about who's going to continue to keep the conversation going about real MCing and creativity in the MC space, not just hit making ability, well, not just, you know what I'm saying?
But this now gets into the bigger conversation about what the problems are with Drake, period. That's the bigger thing with Drake. Drake gets super defensive in all of these conversations because the fact is Drake has never wanted to commit to being the rap guy. He wants to be the big mainstream, chicks love me, young people love me, so many SKUs, play me at your house party, play me at your resort, play me at your club.
No, he wants to but be Taylor also, Swift. He wants
but
to
also,
be his version of Taylor Swift.
No, he does, but then the hard part is he also wants to then be the rap guy. And he does that through these moments.
That's right.
This is where he gets his rap stripes, because I'll tell you where he's not going to do it, by making a 14-song rap album. That's not in the cards. I gave up on that years ago.
Well,
so,
which
like,
is interesting in his shots on this Push-Ups record when he says to Kendrick, you know, he's basically calling Kendrick out for trying to be mainstream and being unsuccessful about it with the Maroon 5 verse and let's do something for the Swifties, right, when he jumps on the Taylor Swift remix.
Which is funny. Yeah, you're right, Ebro. That is a very notable line. First of all, both those things were years ago. Just to be clear, Maroon 5 and Taylor Swift, you're talking about legitimately 5, 6, 7 years ago. I don't think I'm wrong on that.
But that's Drake antagonizing him. Like, looky, looky, I'm mainstream and I haven't had to do that. You were trying to get mainstream and you went and did some cornball shit.
Yeah, and to what I would say is you did cornball shit in different ways. You did cornball shit on your own albums. Just different kinds of cornball shit. Kendrick makes his albums sacred. Say what you will, the albums are sacred. He does not have throwaway records. Kendrick does not have, he's not like, he never once listened to Interscope, who I'm sure they tried, and said, you know what, fuck it. Let's put the one big commercial track on the album. He never did it. They were, from beginning to end, a body of work. And then Kendrick was like, you know what? I could get a big bag and get some mainstream credibility and win over the Grammy folks and get more people interested by doing some random feature on a Taylor Swift record. By the way, I think that aged great. She became the biggest artist in the world after that. But to me, I'd rather do that and make the solid bodies of work. And I'm not trying to make this some big anti-Drake stance. I accept Drake for who he is. He's fantastic. He's the number one hit maker in the history of hip hop. No questions asked. But there's a reason. Well,
really,
and
music,
yo, the reason Drake and Kendrick hate each other on some level is because the other one does things that they both want to do. Drake wants the credibility for being the hip hop guy. You're not. Kendrick wants credibility for being the popular star. You're not. They both want a piece of the thing that they're not.
Yeah, man.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
And that's the whole source of it, because Drake is never going to have Kendrick's rapping credibility. Never. No matter what he does, it's never happening. And Kendrick is never going to be the star that Drake is in a pop, fill the arena every single night, hit the New York area 6 fucking times on one tour.
Whatever it was.
Yeah. I mean, that's not going to be Kendrick. And this is the source of the friction.
I like it. I'm into it.
We just found something. I think I stumbled on something.
You think you uncovered a gem?
Well, it took a while for me to figure out what's interesting about this. Maybe that is the interesting piece, and they'll never get there unless one day they want to team up. You know, which, by the way, in wrestling, wouldn't this all lead to something one day?
Where they all team up?
I thought about a big three tour one day until the fucking Cole thing happened. I was like, oh, this is a work. They're going to do a big three tour. It's going to be stadiums. It's going to be crazy. And then Cole comes out and he's like, not really feeling great about this. And I was right. Like, oh, man.
Come on.
I love Cole. By the way,
Drake's like, yo, fuck with Cole talking about that Kendrick shit is trash. Drake, you're lying, by the way. Cole was right. That Kendrick shit is fire.
Hold on. Is that what the line mean? I thought he meant that Dot shit was trash was about what Cole did with Dot. You mean he's referring to?
I thought he was referring to the verse on Like That.
Right.
Got it. Okay, that's what he meant, because
That's how I took it. I don't know.
What did Cole say that he's referring to?
I thought it was some conversation that required Cole felt like he needed to respond because the Dot shit was hot.
Got it. And he's saying, I don't care what Cole said.
Because in the context of the convo, it sounds like Drake is talking, you know, trying to make good with Top and, you know, kind of these behind the scenes convos, begging Kai Cenat and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It sounded like he was just talking about conversations that have been having, you know, behind the scenes.
Yo, for the record, I wish we could get unity in the way people come at Drake. There are so many other people who I wish people would come for and unify against that they don't. But
yeah, but we live in America, man. It's about entertainment. Speaking of, yo, can somebody on our digital team, there was a Twitter link sent by Cast One yesterday, which had a recap of kind of like the Drake, Kendrick bars going at each other. They missed a few in the recap. But in this video, there is a Angie Martinez Drake conversation that I found very, very, very interesting.
Oh, I saw her post it.
Angie posted it.
Yes, I think it was a TikTok. Yeah.
Okay. Well, nonetheless, in the conversation, it was early. First thing I thought was, has Drake sat down with Angie Martinez since this?
Hi.
Hey, Kenza, there's monsters in your closet.
No.
Just finish what you're saying.
Has Drake sat down with Angie Martinez since this conversation? I don't know.
No.
But in this conversation, Angie's jamming him up about, like, you know, yo, talk your shit, B. And he's like, nah. And he's taking shots at Kendrick, clearly, where he's like, yo, that shit is in the moment. And he says some other little underhanded things. But you can see he's a little agitated by her questioning, as well as trying to maintain this holier than thou kind of, you know, I'm above this kind of responding to this momentary thing. And I think it's really telling about who he is as an artist and a person when you watch it. I don't know if we could get it up or even play pause. Hey, yo, I don't know if we can play it during this conversation just to analyze it, but I think everyone should go watch it. Because I think it's very, very telling of how Drake perceived his role in the game at the time and what he needed to do to be successful or even to be in hip hop, to be the rapper he is today. And I think it's also a part of his mentality still right now and how he's addressing the situation.
I don't remember. And by the way, I don't think they ever sat down again. But
yeah, see, because
here's the piece. Turn the volume up.
Battling. I mean, there's passion behind it. There's anger behind it, you know, and I personally enjoy making like great music and bodies of work over like being the talk of Twitter for like 5 days, you know. Over,
but you
like,
seem just now a little irritated by it. No?
Really?
Yeah, just by even saying that it was those harsh words, it seemed like maybe it irritated you for a second. Is that wrong?
No, it's just like, I mean, coming from that situation, it was unexpected, you know. I wouldn't like... It's sort of like in working your way up and sort of building relationships. I wouldn't expect you to like throw all the relationships out the door for the sake of, like I said, being like the talk of the internet for 10 days. And then, you know, it's like now this, like, everyone's going to forget about. I mean, people don't even care about it anymore.
So true.
But now, especially this week, it's like, yeah, okay, moving on. Like, I don't know if it was worth it, you know, because there's a lot of people that were mentioned that I feel like can't really go back and fuck with that guy after that. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, I shouldn't have
talking about okay, Kendrick.
I enjoy it. Get into it, Drake. Go.
But no, that's
people think you're too nice. That's the problem. You gotta curse a little bit.
Nah,
more.
But anyway, I mean, for me, you know, it was cool. I feel like the verse was great, and I understand what
as a fan, I would enjoy a Drake and Kendrick kind of sparring session. Well,
I'm sure you would.
Yeah, I would. I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? You want me to lie to you about this?
No, that's good. That's good. I understand it. I never thought Kendrick, but there's a couple other people I thought would have called my name by now that I never did. But
oh, is that what you're waiting for, the name call?
I'm waiting for it. I'm ready for it. Not waiting for it, but I'm ready for it.
Nice.
I'm not the guy. Wait, but there's a reason why they don't call my name. I'm not the guy.
2013.
I like when you talk crazy, Drake.
I'm not talking crazy. I'm being honest.
I know. I like that.
I'm not the one.
So there's a reason they don't call my name.
Nice.
Oh, very nice guy. That's how I was.
Don't turn it off. We're not done.
Very nice guy. I don't like confrontation, but I'm also not the guy, especially when it comes to rap. I'm ready.
Talk that shit.
I don't know why they've been lying, but your shit is not that inspiring. Bank account statements.
I found that very interesting at the time because I feel like that energy is what, you know, obviously the control verse happened. And then there's the Elliot Wilson conversation with Drake where he took some shots.
You got to stop saying obviously when you talk about that. Like, we all remember that moment.
Which what?
The Elliot Wilson interview.
Well, I just remember. I'm only in my brain because I just keep seeing it on my feed.
What, so what was the specifics of it? Of that?
Same,
what?
Similar. It was so clearly he did the rounds during that moment after the control verse, pushing that narrative right there.
Got it. Where the people don't want it.
Where A, people don't want it, and B, it's a short-lived strategy.
Ken's is so cute. I'm sorry. No offense, bro. Everything
you're
saying.
Also, I don't know if you guys can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you, Cass. Go ahead.
You also have
your mic. I don't know what happened to your mic, Cass.
Yeah, because I'm on the air right now, so I can't be on that mic. I gotta be on this mic right here.
Right. Okay.
I'm go. Trying to do two things.
So
at
real
once.
Quick, just think about it in perspective of what that moment was. Right, Control was like 2013, and at that moment, maybe they're like a year and a half removed of Kendrick being kind of introduced to the world on Drake's album, and being on tour with Drake. So this kind of came out of the blue. This whole control verse.
So you're saying Drake is pissed right now because he's like, bro, I took you
caught off guard because he's like, I thought it was good. Maybe
well,
not.
So well, remember, he doesn't diss anyone. The funny thing
is, anyone. Rosenberg.
Yo, he literally shouts out all of his friends. Remember, he says Mac Miller. He shouts out all of his people.
See, but this goes back to what I was saying yesterday about the bitch assness of the whole thing, man. Is because you have guys like Kendrick. Who are like, look, nah, we competing. I'm going to talk shit. This is how we do it around my way, and this is how we do it on the block. And if you're not from that element where you could talk shit and still be cool, Drake is saying in that Angie shit, like, there's hateful words. These are real words. These are mean words. Like, I wouldn't.
And I'm like, and I'm with you, bro. I'm like, were they? I thought he was just saying your name to give you respect.
Like, I'm going to take you out. I respect you. But in this game, I'm going to take you out. That's what the control verse was about. But Drake was like, no, it was mean, bro. Like, he said mean stuff to me. Meanwhile, there's a whole other Kendrick clip that's been circulating the last couple days of him bigging up Drake and appreciating him for taking him out on tour.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I mean, that was a thing. It happened.
Let's see. I want to get to the actual part. First of all, do you know that Kendrick starts his control verse by saying, tell Flex to drop a bomb on this shit?
Yes, I do remember.
I didn't remember that. All right, he goes, I heard the barbershops be in the great debates of all time about who the best MC, Kendrick, Jigga, and Nas. Eminem, Andre 3000, the rest of y'all. New N-words, just new N-words. Don't get involved. And I ain't rocking no more designer shit, white tees and Nike Cortez. This red Corvette's anonymous. I'm usually homeboys with the same N-words I'm rhyming with. But this is hip hop, and them N words should know what time it is. Ebro, to your point. And that goes for Jermaine Cole, Big Crit, Wale, Pusha T, Meek Mills, ASAP Rocky, Drake, Big Sean, J Electron, Tyler, Mac Miller. I got love for you all, but I'm trying to murder you N words. It's such a great. In retrospect, I remember why it's great.
Fire.
It's fine. Well,
but also after that, Pusha and Kendrick do a song together on Pusha's album. I think it was My Name Is My Name.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say too, because I just saw the video the other day. So after the project, or after that diss, they're in the street doing a video. Pusha know what it is. It's not really something you need to get sensitive about.
And then I think Jay Elect got in his feelings. Clearly, man. Drake got in his feelings. Big Sean got in his feelings. I don't know where Wale and them was at with it.
Well, Big Sean might have been annoyed that the moment it was his record and he lost the moment completely, which I get. I mean,
J. Cole and Kendrick did Forbidden Fruit, I think, on that. On what album is that?
They had no issues after that. That definitely did not lead to issues with him and Cole.
Right.
I don't think.
And so clearly, that's why Kendrick then comes back around at the BET cipher and says, tuck a sensitive rapper back in his pajama clothes or whatever he said. Because it's like, bro, you got sensitive off that? And since then, they've been throwing shots. But back to how we started this conversation. We are at another inflection point because Kendrick said it on people.
Right. And he said, this is hip-hop. Y'all should know what time it is.
People in the comments are calling us Kendrick Crusaders.
Oh, stop.
Well, there, those are, but see, what we big up Drake, and that ain't good enough. But then we talk about Kendrick. And we, you know, but this is the whole thing, man. People want us to pick a side. I'm just here to see. I'm just calling it as I see it.
Exactly.
Kendrick, by the way, Kendrick at two times in this whole thing has been the reason that it has gotten into shambles and people got in their feelings.
And I would also argue on the other side that the reason the shambles can exist is because also Drake is so big.
That's right. They need each other.
Hey, listen, Ebro, I made a declaration earlier.
Yes.
I said if the people didn't show up, it was the last one. The people showed up. We appreciate you.
At? Which people, though?
We did more than I told you. I don't care about the management people. I don't know them. That's your issue. You handle. I let you deal with all the big management people. I just talk about the people. But we got 2,500 people who showed up this time in here live. That's dope, man. So,
well, here's where I'm at. If we got 2,800 people showing up for 30 minutes. Live, and we don't have a sponsor in 30 days. I'm shutting the whole shit down.
There you go. But we gotta follow. Days, we gotta follow
we need
it up.
At least
though.
One sponsor. One something. Sponsor.
All right.
Something.
All right.
But
my
thank
time
you guys.
Is worth something, damn it. I'm giving you an extra.
That was 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Laura's got to go fight monsters. Thanks, guys.
Yo, Kenza, there's monsters in your closet.
Bye, everyone.
Yo, all Laura, right, put a picture guys. Of me in her closet.
Oh, God.
Say it's just Ebro.
WQHT and WQHT HD1 New York. Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
Just don't call it a podcast.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.